On the show today, we have Northwest Credit Union Association's Denise Gable talking about the race for talent and starting with the leaders. So check it out. Welcome to the show, and we have one of our favorite recurring guests on the show. I was about to say on the planet, but on the show as well. Northwest Credit Union Association's Denise Gable's back on the show. How are you, Denise?
I'm doing well. How about you?
I'm doing well, doing well. Thank you for asking. We have a really cool, timely, and hot topic that we're discussing today. That's something that's near and dear to your heart as well. It's called the race for talent, and it all starts with the leader. So, I mean, just to kind of get us going here, can you provide us a quick overview, and then we'll dive in a little bit deeper?
Absolutely. Thanks again. I want to start with thanks again for having me. I always enjoy the show. I track you frequently and see what you're up to. For me, I think, you know, great talent makes all the difference. You know, there's always been a competition for challenge, a race for talent. But to me, what's different, I think demographics. I think at some point the boomers will actually retire, right? That's been a pending, threatening,
I think they're working on it.
Recovery from the crash, yeah. Kind of top, but I think they will retire. I think that expectations are different today for talent, that the talent that's coming in. I think flexible work schedules, wanting to work remote, and this has happened for some time, that people aren't looking for a 30-year watch. You know, for 30 years of service, they're looking for, I want to work here a year and then I plan to go somewhere else.
Right.
And I want to work here 2 years. I think that's the change in the demographics. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what's kind of fueling this race for talent.
Okay.
So, you know, what's not different, and this is my passion, what's not different is that talent leaves bad managers and leaders, despite that the organization's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you have a daily interaction with a poor, ineffective manager or leader, that's the chasing out of talent.
Mm-hmm. That's a vacuum,
that
man.
Happens. So I think if we work hard at growing leaders and we grow them early and often, I think we'll really compete. In this case, in the credit union space,
right.
We have a great value proposition. And if we can make sure that our leaders are solid, we won't have trouble in the race for talent.
I know. That's kind of like the sticking question is, like, how do we retain that talent? Because we have it. And a lot of these folks, unfortunately, leave for other industries. It's like, you know, you gain it, but how do you retain it? That's the $64,000 question if you don't step back a few years.
Oh, yeah. And it's a great question because you spend all this money in the talent
and
you have to realize that talent is not a commodity. Those are individuals, unique gifts and talents, and that takes a special amount of energy to make sure you've got those right people in the right spots.
Mm-hmm.
And that when that call comes in, you know, that feeling from the recruiter, hey, hi, you've got a lot of talent. How do you create that same kind of emotion within your organization?
Mm-hmm.
Don't wait for the external recruiter to call your talent. You call your talent.
Ah, I like that. I'm going to trademark that. I like
that's pretty good. I got to get that down myself.
That's your tagline, Denise. All right. So, I mean, now there's another side of the race for talent that is a bit scary today. And I've been talking to a lot of folks, and there's a lack of talent, unfortunately, in some cases. There's not enough of it. And so what do we do in that case? Because, I mean, I've spoken to, like, recruiting people and headhunters and things like that, and they're saying, like, the cycle of trying to find and place a CEO has gotten a lot longer. I mean, the search is, I mean, they're more in depth, but it just takes a little bit while longer. What's going on here?
Well, I think that demographic shift, you know, is certainly at play,
mm-hmm.
that there will be fewer candidates from which to choose.
Right.
And I also think that's just one more reason why we want to build that pipeline. We want to start thinking about that early and often, mm-hmm. about those leaders, succession planning, no matter what the position.
Right.
And grow that talent to be kind of flexible enough that it really doesn't matter what the it doesn't matter what the position is.
Mm-hmm.
If we're growing that talent on a constant basis, will we be ready? Will we have some people in our pipeline?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that could help immensely.
Yeah,
but we've got to focus on it.
No, I'm glad you brought that up because we had Larry Bernanke on the program. He was on for a series of shows a few months ago. He's the former CEO of Arkansas Federal Credit Union, and he echoed that same thing. You have to kind of nurture the talent within, and then when you're ready to leave, then that person's ready to go. Or if that person finds another job at a credit union, hey, that benefits the industry. So you're doing the industry a favor by nurturing and growing that talent within. So that's a good thing.
It's a good thing. And, you know, I often think about, again, in this space for credit unions, what is the opportunity among the fabric of the 6,000 credit unions? If the new emerging talent wants to work 1 or 2 years and they want to change it up and find something new, mm-hmm. what if we create a broader network among all credit unions? And, you know, you feel like you've given your gift in Seattle, Washington, and it's time for you to head to Arizona, or time for you to head to Minneapolis. I know a credit union there.
Yeah.
So perhaps we can just think differently about the network that we have and how we could tap that as far as this more broad movement mm-hmm. of talent.
Yeah, I think it expands on the term of cooperative, sharing. Ooh. So what a funk.
Who would think? Yeah,
exactly. So let's switch gears just a little bit here. Let's look at board recruitment, because that's always been a challenge at some credit unions, trying to get new board members to come on. And then what you've brought up is trying to board diversification. But what can credit unions do better in this situation?
You know, here I'm going to say, be clear on what you're trying to accomplish. In the world of innovation, we say, what problem are you trying to solve? Mm-hmm. Oftentimes, if you hear, we need younger board members, I'm going to say that's a label.
Okay.
Do you need younger board members? Dig a little bit deeper.
Okay.
Or do you need younger, more technology-based thinking or skills? I mean, I think what we need to do is break that down into what skill set and gifts are you looking for that you need on this governance board or in your staff or wherever mm-hmm. wherever your need, mm-hmm. then you go after that kind of talent. Cool. Okay.
And so, I mean, do you have any advice for credit unions in this area? I mean, because we kind of want to get down to the brass tacks here, because, I mean, again, it's just sometimes it's like pulling teeth to get folks to participate. And a lot of these positions are volunteer as well. A vast majority of them are volunteer. So trying to get folks to take time from their lives to kind of set the direction of a credit union, because they're the ones that are choosing these leaders that we're talking about now.
Right. Well, here's the thought. If the clarity is there and the job description of the position, whether it's a board member or a staff position, and what you're trying to accomplish, what skills and gifts that you need, mm-hmm. if you put out the call and you tap an emotional need back and forth in that person, they're going to be interested. You make it clear that it's not a fundraising board.
Yeah.
We noticed that here in the Northwest when we started talking to high performing boards, mm-hmm. is that some of those board members, many boards, are fundraising. Well, I don't want to be on a fundraising board. So if we can communicate more readily, it is a governance board, and we're looking for someone who has the gifts, skills, and abilities mm-hmm. in the area of finance mm-hmm. or marketing, or, you know, business analytics. Suddenly you're talking to me in a different way as a potential, and I'm saying, hey, I'm gifted in that. Mm-hmm. That I apply, it'll stretch me and help me grow, and maybe I can make a difference at my credit union. So I think it goes right back to that skill set. What are you trying to accomplish? Mm-hmm. And try for that skill set. Make sure people know it's not a fundraising job.
Yeah.
Because some people, if they want that, they go to the YMCA.
Which is all good.
Yeah. Some people, but again, that's the clarity. If you want to be a fundraiser, there are opportunities for you to be a fundraiser as well.
Indeed. A whole different ball of wax right there. All right, let's wrap up here. Word has it, rumor has it, that you're writing a book.
It's earth-shattering, the notion that I'm writing a book. Here's the deal. I've had this should for a really long time. I should write a book. I should write a book. Many people tell me. So I decided I don't want to live my life with any shoulds, decided to write a book. Do you mind if I read you this chapter? The chapter's called Grocery Town. I don't know what the title of the book is going to be.
Okay, I'm sorry.
No sorries. It's developing. Here's the chapter, and I want to read it to you and your listeners because it's relatively short, And it underscores the point that you asked me to talk about, this race for talent. All right. It started like this. My niece gave me a writing prompt called Grocery Town. It's a town where all the foods live and one got rotten. It was a slow death. First one black spot and then mushy, and then it began to stink to high heaven. Everyone around the potato knew it. Deep down inside, the potato knew it. It knew it was getting rotten. But for some reason, the potato was the only one who wanted to not admit it. Why wouldn't that potato admit it was getting sick? One black spot didn't have to mean the potato had to turn soft and die. One black spot wouldn't stop the spud from growing if it could have been placed in some new soil. I know each one of you can identify with me when I say your attitude toward a position or task, whether at work or in your personal life, it fluctuates from time to time when we spend on it. When you relocate to a new job in Grocery Town, for example, hopefully you're excited to sign on. Your first days can be nervous. Will I do well? Will I fit in? But soon you're welcomed into a positive grocery culture, given that appropriate training and empowered to succeed. In Grocery Town, if you're broccoli, you're paired with cranberries and a light dressing. If you're milk, you find yourself in the beverage cooler with lemonade and iced tea. And if you're a potato, you're in a wonderful, cool, dark place with those beets and radishes. At first, everything's new and wonderful. Your office space is nice. Your work is engaging. Hey, even the fridge is clean. However, what often happens to us after spending time in a position without change, what happens? It becomes stale. Broccoli gets droopy. Milk gets sour. Boredom sets in, and potatoes start to get little black spots. Rot appears, and soon mold is spreading from one crisper drawer to the next, to the next. In Grocery Town, it starts with one small black spot. We've all been there. What was once engaging and fulfilling is no longer so. Something's stagnant, and often we can't pinpoint what has changed to make us feel that way. Sometimes nothing has. Often we can't articulate what would make us feel again, what ultimately motivates us to success. If only I had this. Well, if only if management did that. That's important. And some of the reading the book are managers and leaders. And to those leaders, I say, don't forget to fertilize. You have the responsibility to empower and engage your groceries. Pay attention when things start to get mushy, and occasionally, don't forget, you have to clean out that fridge. But others of you are reading this book are potatoes, the nuts and bolts of a substantial, I'll bet carb-loaded menu. And to you, I say, pay attention to your interactions with the culture in your organization. Identify for yourself whether you're on board with the overall goals and ideals of your company. When you get a black spot, be honest with yourself and acknowledge it for what it is. Is it simply a bad day or a rough week? Or is it the root, no pun intended, of something bigger? Something that can spread and hinder your ability to contribute effectively and give your best, most passionate gifts. Folks, if it's the latter, you should consider the soil. So that's Grocery Town. It's one chapter, and it's my passion. Mike, you know this. You've interviewed me several times. It's people and possibilities. If you apply that to the race for talent, you got to start here. You got to figure out if you're in the race, if you're committed to the organization and giving your 100% gifts, grow the leaders around us, and you watch the talent will start to flock. Toward that leader in the organization. I truly believe it.
I agree. I totally agree. And it sounds like not only is you have to have clarity within the organization or clarity in a job description, but you have to have clarity with yourself, it sounds like.
Totally. And, you know, if you're up to it, I mean, Grocery Town started and the conversation started with my niece throwing me a writing prompt one night.
Yeah.
You know, I'll offer, if your viewers and listeners want to send you some writing prompts, we can select one and I'll write a chapter.
Let's do it.
And it'll be all based on talent, innovation, and change.
Let's do it. Yeah.
So, I'm all let's do it.
Up for that challenge big time. Yeah. And let's get this book written.
So, yeah. Let's get this book written. You send it in, and we're going to contribute to this chapter to you and see if we can make a difference in creating a world where talent just flocks to organizations who want to succeed.
I concur. Denise, that's a great way to end this interview, because we're going to talk a few more times, but this is a great way to end this interview. So thank you so much for your time, and look forward to the next chat, probably in the next couple of weeks.
Thank you so much, Mike. Take a great day. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Very welcome. Anytime.